It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening. It is Insight without Jack Stogler. He's on vacation, so I'm filling in, and we'll be talking to the Fort Recovery firefighters, the Mercer County, Southwest Mercer County Fire District, correct?
That is correct.
I always kept thinking it would be fire department, but it's fire district. So we'll be talking with several people tonight, and one will be Chuck, that knows all kinds of stuff about the junior firefighter thing, and they want to make sure people know that that's going on. So we'll be talking about that. We'll have a rocker rant and maybe some other stuff going on. And then later, Bubba and Fee have Mindy Bupp from the swim team, and I believe they're getting a call in from Coach Gann. So a lot of stuff going on there. So we'll kind of dig into what's going on with the fire department and what they do, how they do it, why they do it, all that kind of thing. So we'll try to get into all of that. We're being joined here by Roger Leonards, too. So we'll take a little break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes and talk with the Mercer County, Southwest Mercer Fire District folks. Be back in just a minute.
Hey, this is Stacy with Brick Street Tavern. We have added a couple new items to our menu. Spicy pickle fries, pizza bites, cauliflower pizza, and cheese curds. Stop up and try our new items or give us a call to get them to go.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance wide swath litter spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hi, I'm Sophie Pearson.
I'm Macy Shinnenberry.
And I'm Ava Shane, and we are the Fort Recovery Girls Softball Team. We are having our annual pulled pork fundraiser.
The tickets are just $7 each, and you get one of Wendell's Barbecue Famous pulled pork sandwiches, baked beans, coleslaw, and chips.
The dinners will be available on Sunday afternoon, March 7th, and you can just drive by and pick them up at St. Joe's store from 4 to 6 p.m.
Contact any of us on the softball team for tickets, and we'll also be selling them at all the home boys and girls basketball games.
Don't miss out on the girls softball team's annual barbecue pulled pork dinners, available on March 7th at St. Joe's store.
See any of us on the team to get your tickets.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Welcome back to Insight. We're here with the firefighters, and we have Roger Leonards here with us. I believe you're the chief now, aren't you, Roger?
Yeah, we're the chief.
So. That's good. So, I guess, how many firefighters do we have?
Right now, we got 27 active firemen on the department. We've got the junior program. We got three guys in on that, just kind of coming into the program also. We have a couple guys that just take care of the traffic control, and that's Dave Wood. And then we have Dave Nicholson, is the chaplain of the fire department, and also helps along with traffic control also.
So that's good. A lot of people involved, and they're probably from all throughout the area, not all just in the town, I'm sure.
Well, it's all people from kind of in our area or territory areas where you got to be on the fire department.
Yeah.
Like, see, from the amount of guys that we got so many people, it's got jobs outside during the day, and we come a little bit short of some of the guys during the day.
Because, like, Nick works at Crown, and he can't just pop here in 3 or 4 minutes like some of the other guys can. So, but, mm-hmm. But you don't want to say, hey, I'm sorry, you're working at Crown. We can't have you on our department because people like that, you need to have people like that. So,
yeah, I mean, you get that in all areas. You're gonna come shy of some firemen. And so we worked on an automatic mutual aid system along with some of the neighboring departments. That kind of helps us to make sure we're going to have enough guys when the time comes throughout the day for any type of run. So.
Yep. So what kind of area did it cover? Just a couple of townships, or is it by townships, or just kind of... How does that go?
Well, for the Fort Recovery Fire Department, I mean, it's actually the Southwest Mercer Fire District.
Yeah.
We cover the Washington Township, Recovery Township, and Gibson Township.
We cover all of each of those?
Yeah, all of each of those. And the village.
Washington, what is that up towards St. Anthony? Is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah, Washington Township covers everything from Secret Treaty Road to... the donor road just on the other side, 29.
Oh, okay, and yeah.
Over two township lines. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's pretty good. So pretty good amount of area that you cover, and probably when you get a little farther north, you probably also do a lot of mutual aid with Chickasaw, or not Chickasaw, but Chattanooga and Rockford and some of that. If it's big enough, I'd assume that those are probably the first ones you call, or...
Well, we kind of got our mutual aid program set up on automatic mutual aid. So we got neighboring departments for the east from Salina covers a portion area with us in mutual aid, automatic mutual aid, and then Coldwater, St. Henry, and then up to Burgessville, too. So
yeah.
Then we have Rossburg, which is the very far point because we have territory of Missinawa Township. So,
oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. So, yeah, because we're probably the northern part of Dark County. We're probably by the northwest part of that, we're probably the closest by far. Closer than Union City, closer than Ansonia.
That's kind of that whole area out there. The Missinawa Townships broke up between three separate departments out covering coverage on that. So.
Yep. So, now, what does a person need to do to qualify to be a firefighter? Are our qualifications basically the same as St. Henry's and Salina? Well, maybe not Salina because they're full-time, but any of the other volunteer ones around the area, is it basically the same qualifications?
Well, in the fire department, as far as you have a 36-hour basic training, and that puts you into... as a basic firefighter, but then to get into the different levels of the level one, and the level one is you're at about 140 hours of training for that. So that's kind of where the mandating is going to go to everyone to be a level one fireman. And like your level two firemen is your paid departments. So we're about halfway on the level one of the department. And
So that's, and you say there's how much training, did you say? How many hours?
It's 36 hours is like your basic to become a firefighter.
Oh, okay.
Then when you get into like the level one training, I think it's like 164.
It's 110, isn't it?
No.
It's a bunch.
Yeah.
It's three times that, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little easier way to figure to just three times as much to do that. So, now, trucks. How many trucks do we have? How long do they last? What do they do? Former former fire chief, Kim Day.
We had five trucks, or six trucks, excuse me, six trucks. Our newest one's our ladder truck. You know, we're going to use that for all of our structure fires, you know, grain bin rescues, things like that.
Yeah.
We've got two tankers to help with their rural firefighting.
Yeah.
And we have another engine, full engine that we can use for any structure fire, or we use it for mutual aid runs. And then we have what we call a brush truck. This is a big four-wheel drive where we can get out into the fields. Also, we have our rescue equipment on there for car accidents. Then we have our small grass truck to get into the fields and maybe into tighter areas that the bigger truck can't get into.
Mm-hmm. So I think I learned something a few weeks ago. I believe it was the fire out at St. Joe. I was driving along. I was headed toward maybe somewhere east, maybe Coldwater. I don't know. I was probably going to a ball game or doing something. Anyway, I drove by and saw some people back. Saw a fire truck backed up to Charlie Keller's pond. I never knew what that pipe was sticking out of everybody's pond. I thought it's not going to be an overflow. That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, we call it a dry hydrant. That way, you can even if the pond's froze over, you can still pull water out of there.
Yeah, so
we got quite a few of those throughout the whole area.
Yeah, I see them all over the place. Basically, every pond that's being built has it. I thought, well, is that some new EPA thing where you have to have some? I couldn't figure out. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't realize that's that's a water source for that's awesome.
I'd say since we've put those in, we've pulling water out of the town, out of the hydrants in town, very, very, very minimal.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, it would have to be an in-town fire, basically. Because there's, like with Charlie Keller's, he's not even half a mile out of town, so you don't have to go very far to get that. So probably, is that something that the farmer pays for, the landowner pays for? Or how does that, and is it even enough of an expense for anybody to even worry about? I don't know if it's just...
I guess we kind of got it down to a science now. I think when we first started quite a few years ago, the landowner paid for part of it, we paid for part of it, and it's got to the point now to where, you know, we got funds or we get donations and we have the money to do it. Sometimes the landowner also pays for it. You know, it's kind of a joint venture.
Is it expensive or is it just a PVC pipe?
PVC, that's exactly what it is.
There's no motors or no pumps. Nope, it's just gravity flow. Yep. So a few hundred, or maybe not even a few hundred, depending on where the pond is.
You're probably looking anywhere about $600 to $800. You end up till you get the piping and get them set up in
so
your,
that's,
your
you know,
screen.
If you're building a pond, if you're digging a pond, that's minimal.
That's exactly the time to put it in.
Yeah, and it's minimal cost compared to the rest of the pond, and it can save your farm. your barn, your house, something like that. So I would say...
Now, in some cases, I don't know if things have changed. You know, a lot of times the insurance company looks at that, and that also helps
the
farmer also.
I'll bet most of them know that because they're all... they all are in the non-planting and non-harvest season. They're all uptown talking to each other every day. So if somebody says, hey, we did this. Really, why'd you do that? Well, yep. Got saved $300 a year on my fire insurance. So why not? So yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we used to be able to pick on Chuck Hines, say Chuck, give him a discount, but we can't do that anymore. Chuck's not there.
Yeah, but if his daughter's there, she's not a firefighter, but she knows how important that is. So so we've talked about the training and so forth to be a firefighter. We're going to talk a little bit about the junior firefighter. So there is a minimum age. Is there a maximum age? Can somebody kind of hang around and help you clean the fire trucks and stuff as long as they want to?
Who wants to jump in here on this one? I'd say the maximum age, you know, once they turn 18 and they got their diploma, high school diploma,
yeah,
they can go onto the firefighting side.
Mm-hmm.
So we would not bring anybody in over 18 in the junior program.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be more called a rookie or a trainee.
Uh-huh. Yep. Because that's what you had most of the time.
Yeah.
So how is there a retirement age?
Well, I don't know. I'm still there.
I guess you kind of look at the retirement ages, you know, when you're rounding enough years, you kind of lose the flame of it a little bit. You just
yep.
you just feel like, you know, you had enough, and you know, there's some guys have been on their department's been 10, 15 years. That's just what they said they wanted to do, and they're done with the fire department. And mm-hmm. like we just said, Ivan retired off here at 40.
I was thinking it's 46, but
40 plus years. I mean,
yeah.
Most guys they try to look at that 25 year centers where they want to be on the fire department.
Now, do they just stop going down there completely, or do they still hang around down there?
Well, usually they'll
come to some of the meetings and
yeah. right,
because they can't, you know, they put so much of their life into it, they don't want to just. Say,
just
well,
disappear.
Yep,
just
through with that.
Yeah.
They're, when they have a lot invested, they want to make sure they keep kind of hanging around and seeing what's going on, because mm-hmm. they're still concerned. And, you know, probably a few of those would still hang around if they had to. If you were really short on people, they could jump in. So I'm hoping that I don't think right now you're like short on fire persons, but.
Always looking.
Yeah. If you can keep that younger generation, the junior program going, that we'll talk about here in a little bit, if you can keep that going, that's just a really, really good thing, and keep them all so they're trained, they're ready to go when somebody retires. There's more to take their place.
Mm-hmm. So for us, we can gear up for 30 firemen in the department. So right now we're at, having a couple of them in traffic control, we're right at 20, mm-hmm. 26 is what we got right now.
Okay.
So, yep. you know, like you put everybody in gear, I mean, you know, you want to make sure that you guys are going to be able to be active to the department and stuff. I mean, you get a pretty good investment set up for each one of the guys until you got turnout gear, you got your Nomex hood, your gloves, your boots and everything. We just went through pricing some of this. So you can have over $3,700 in per person. Just for a complete set of turnout gear, from helmet to boots to everything, and that's not including like your air pack and everything, but them are on the trucks. But just an individual person to fit to the clothes mm-hmm. to,
and that's all stuff that you would definitely want to have. You wouldn't necessarily need it in every fire, but you'd want to be able to have access to that, so that if you're going in somewhere and there's six guys in and they go out and six more go in, that they don't have to switch outfits and all that kind of stuff to be able to do it, so everybody can have their own and not waste time.
Yeah, you want to have everybody fit up for their own clothes and yep. for the sizing and everything. So.
Yep. So let's take a quick little break here, and we'll come back, and we'll probably start talking about the junior firefighters, that whole program, and that's kind of Chuck's avenue. And we'll come back and talk with him, and you guys can also throw in whatever you need to cover some things too, because don't want to make Chuck do all the talking. He's real shy.
So, yeah, he's real shy.
So let's take a break, and we'll be back in a little bit with Chuck and the junior firefighters.
Announcing Open House Week at Hallmark.
You say you're.
My name is Connor Rammel, Vice President of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce, here to let you know about our upcoming chamber banquet. The banquet will be held Sunday, March 14th, 2021 at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m. and dinner will begin approximately at 6 p.m. with the awards following immediately after. Tickets are available at Fort Recovery Insurance and by drive-through only at Park National Bank, Mercer Savings Bank, and First Financial Bank. Also, be sure to pick up your nomination forms for Citizen of the Year and Hall of Fame recipient at Fort Recovery Insurance, the Post Office, Library, Wangler Hardware, and the Village Hall. Or go to our website, frchamber.org, and fill out the online nomination form. Also, nominations for Business of the Year will be accepted, but online only. See Chamber website for details. Deadline for all nominations is February 4th. If you have any questions, please give me a call at 419-375-4041. The Chamber and local businesses look forward to seeing you at the banquet March 14th at 5:30 p.m.
Wayne Street Market always has great prices and great selection to save you money on your weekly grocery bill. Here are some of their great deals through January 14th. In their meat department, T-bone steaks are still just $5.99 a pound, and you can get their chuck roast for $4.99 a pound. Cube steak is only $3.99 a pound, and their store-made bulk sausage is $2.99 a pound. For a quick meal, you can get their store-made roast beef for $6.99 a pound, barbecue pork for $5.99 a pound, and their cream chicken is just $4.99 a pound. And they have meal specials every weekday in their deli, hot and ready to go. And here's a special announcement. For the month of January, Wayne Street Market will be closing at 7 p.m. each night and will be closed all day on Sundays. Also, their deli will close at 6 p.m. each day. Get everything you need at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Welcome back to Insight. We're here with the Southwest Mercer Fire District folks. So, Chief Roger Lennertz, I know we have a junior firefighter program going. What's going on with that?
Well, it's a program we had going several years back, and we had quite a few guys active to it. It kind of calmed down here for a little while, and we kind of wanted to get the thing going back again, and we've kind of been bringing it up for a while, and then we had needed a couple of people to do the advisors of it to kind of get it going. Then Chuck Rohr and Giles Day kind of willing to step up to kind of handle taking over the junior program and kind of going through the bylaws and kind of getting it all reset. So these two guys are going to head this thing up and kind of see if we can move forward with it.
So, Chuck, tell us about the junior firefighter program.
There's a lot of information, and we did go through and we revised a lot. I think we spent three nights down at the station revising this, probably 6 hours each night going through this.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so we were kind of excited once we got everything ironed out and flattened. We were kind of happy where we were sitting with the new rules on this. But the junior firefighter program is eligible for anyone inside of our territory. So out of the 110 miles that we cover, anyone from the age of 14 to 18 can actually apply for this.
Male or female?
Yes.
Perfect. Yep.
So pretty much the age range goes from anyone going into a freshman till you graduate. Mm-hmm. Then our goal is after you graduate, you move on to get your 36-hour card is our goal for that.
So if they like it, I'm sure they'll...
We're hoping they
will do that, yeah.
I'm kind of looking through some of our rules here quick, but we won't accept any junior that just shows up. They do have to have permission from their guardian or parent. That way we don't get into any trouble with parents. We kind of want to make sure that we have some rules and boundaries set.
Yeah, they need to be on board with it.
Yeah.
Well, kind of goes to Chuck. They got to...
Yep, go ahead.
They got to have their parent parent's signature permission. So there's a form
at the end that you can actually, I guess the parents can look through it. They can look through the bylaws, you know, kind of helps them out. And then they kind of know where their kid's at what time on, I guess, Monday nights or during a fire, if possible.
So, yeah, and they also have to kind of maintain a decent grades in school, that type of thing, and I'm assuming there's also other things involved with that, other things that they'd be required to pass or to go through or use or whatever.
Yeah, so we do require all of our juniors to have a C average for the semester. So if they drop below C average, unfortunately, they're going to be put into a non-active stage for this. So we want their grades to stay up. We don't want them to be spending all their time down at the department and not studying.
Yeah.
So we don't want to affect the education side at all. If anything, we want to help increase that and get them interested into the fire science side.
Yep. So now, as far as what do they actually do when they're junior firefighters? Do they kind of just hang around and help you guys at the firehouse on Monday? Do they do some studying types of things? Is there requirements? What do they do besides just pop in and help you polish the fire trucks?
So the old way of that was they just kind of popped in and they helped wash the trucks. They helped keep the station clean. They didn't get to make so many runs because before the old bylaws was they could not be in a truck running hot. Lights and sirens.
Okay.
So now that has changed here, and we're allowing them to do that, to run hot in a fire truck, as long as there are seats available, and there's only one per truck.
Okay.
So there are some rules around that part of it, but it is adjusted now. When those rules were changed back, I don't even know when that piece changed, but the program kind of started to slope downhill. We didn't have as many people stay. Didn't have as many people stay interested in it after they did get involved. So
is that because they weren't going on runs?
We think that's a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. Yes.
Yeah. Now you don't need to put pressure on them and put them in charge of things, but to have them to be able to be there and see what it actually is all about is probably one of the things. Not because some of them might be. I guess you call them adrenaline junkies. They want to be there when it's going on and see if they can be doing something. But you also don't want to put pressure on them that they have to make decisions and stuff like that. So the one per truck sounds pretty good to me. It seems at least logical.
Yeah. And then I know, like, in the bylaws we put, you know, if there's something that, I guess, like, you're asked to do, if you're not, I guess, you don't feel right doing it, or you're not ready to do that, let us know.
Yeah.
And then we can either do it or we could have somebody else do it.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes them a little bit responsible to keep an eye on themselves. And also, if they see something like, say, a fireman looks fatigued or something like that, they could go tell somebody.
Yeah.
So that kind of, they can kind of help out.
So, Giles, you're young-ish. Yeah. So, Were you a junior firefighter, or did they not have that program, or what? I know I saw you hanging around the firehouse when you're 6 and 7 and 8, so I know that wasn't junior firefighter times, but you've been around that fire hall for a long time. Does that give you a little better insight into what younger guys should be doing, could be doing, are actually able to do? Is that... to me, that seems like a real logical thing.
Yeah. I mean, I did go through the junior program, like Chuck said, you know, at the beginning of it, it really wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
So then when Roger brought up something about the junior program, me and Chuck kind of communicated back and forth, being something we wanted to take on, since, you know, I actually went through it from the age of 16 all the way up till I got my training, got certified, and actually got on the department. I could, you know, kind of relate to how they're feeling, what they're going through, and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you know what should and shouldn't be put on a high school kid to where they need to be doing stuff. Although yours is a little different perspective since you've been hanging around there a long time.
Yeah.
And have the war stories from the kitchen table and stuff like that, I guess. But we don't talk about how awesome the fire trucks are at the kitchen table.
Yeah, always did.
I don't doubt it. So, anything else we want to talk about on that junior program? Roger, you got something there?
What was the junior program? We try to keep these guys where there's a lot of at the fire scenes and stuff like that. I mean, we want to make sure they're with another fireman. They got rules that they got to follow out there. They just can't go out there and kind of freelance around. We make sure that they're being with the firemen at all times. And then, it's kind of like how the scene's controlled and stuff. Mm-hmm. They know they're not supposed to be in the hot zone and things, but they are able to be out there to kind of be around and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, they can be out there to bring water out to the along out from the station after the fires, after maybe the trucks are going out, or if they can come out there and help change air bottles on guys, like go back to the station afterwards, help kind of clean things back up. And it's more that way than with giving them a pager and stuff, kind of makes them to be part of the department and stuff.
Yes.
I mean, we got some the rules to that is, they're not supposed to be carrying them in school and at any given time. And then, they can only be at the fire hall till so late in the evening and stuff. But there's a lot of different, things that they have to abide by. And then, like I say, it kind of goes back to if I get in any kind of trouble with the law or anything like in that way either. I mean, that all can count against them for the junior program. So,
yep. So, sounds like at a fire scene, if you have some that are kind of timid, they can kind of slowly work into it. But you don't want a cowboy that's going to say, well, I see something there, I'm just going to run in and and fix it. They need to have, whether they're aggressive or shy, they need to have somebody there with them to kind of make sure that they're progressing the way they need to.
Well, at a fire scene, we got what we call hot zone. That's where, I guess it's a more dangerous zone.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to be in the hot zone. They have to be back away. So
yeah, and that's good, because I don't know about any of them now or even later, but somewhere along the line either you will have had or will have some cowboy that's going to think he's read the book, he's seen YouTube videos, and he's going to go fix his fire.
It's probably more YouTube videos than reading the book.
Yeah. So or reading articles on the computer or whatever, they think they know what they're doing, but as long as they know the rules and what the consequences are if they break those rules, which could put somebody besides themselves in danger, they just can't do that. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the junior program and maybe some other things. And you might even end up with a rocker rant before this whole thing's over. So be back in just a minute.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel at Fort Recovery Insurance. Every year, you should review your insurance plans to make sure you have the right protection for your needs. At Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we'll take you inside our fort to make sure you're paying the right price for the right insurance to protect you. For years, we've been doing just that, and it's time for us to help you too. At Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we've got something for everyone, and we've got something for you too. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio, and all the games will also be available on the NFHS Network this week. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will travel to Marion Local. The Flyers are in a second-place tie with our Indians in the MAC, with each team having only one league loss. We'll simulcast Rob Weaver's broadcast of the game. On Friday, the boys will host Marion Local in a big MAC matchup. Our Indians are in a three-way tie for first place in the MAC with no league losses, and the Flyers are right behind with only one league loss. Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you that action live. On Saturday, it'll be another girls-boys doubleheader. The girls will host the always-tough Crestview Lady Knights, and we'll simulcast Rob Weaver's coverage of the game. On Saturday night, the boys will travel to Wapakoneta, and Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you that action live. Be sure to catch all of this week's basketball action on the NFHS Network and on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
We're back. Insight without Jack Stogler. We're talking to the fire department, and we've been talking about the junior firefighters. So we've heard a little bit about the program, kind of what it's doing, that type of thing. What if somebody's actually interested in at least finding out more details? How do they do that?
So going in, we actually just met with the high school principal, Tony Stahl, this past week. We went over the junior program and different opportunities that the school could help us with, and maybe us even help the school go back and forth there to build a relationship. So Tony actually has a couple brochures up at the office that the students can go and pick up. I believe he even has the rules of what we follow for them as well.
And that reminds me real quick. Let me just butt in here. Will these hours that they're spending, will that count for some of their community service hours that they need to have?
Yes.
Perfect.
That does. And there's some other.
That's a really, really good thing.
Yeah. And he was talking about some other opportunities with the way they're going to redo some things with the school. With community service and that, it's fresh. He just got the information, so we're working through that to see if we can't get them some sort of credit for that as well.
That's really good. It's great when the school works with things like that, and I would assume they would as long as they'd be legally allowed to, and I assume they would, but you don't know how those kind of rules go. But yeah. That's a great thing. So besides at the school. Are there other ways they can contact people to find out a little bit more?
And the best way to actually come down, the best way if someone's actually interested is to actually come down to the station. And then you can actually talk with us, see the equipment, maybe even get in some of the equipment. Then we can actually talk you through some of the rules and get maybe some hands-on experience that night already to try to hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, that way it keeps you interested.
Yeah.
And, and on the right night, you could probably catch some pretty good stories, too.
Yeah. the right night or just any Monday?
Well, most Mondays, yes.
I would be surprised if there aren't some good stories going on. So can they also stop in Napa and say something?
Yeah. They can stop in and see me. They can see Giles.
Perfect. I'm in the store about every day, so.
Yeah. Yep, so that's... You know, if you're interested, you know, find out some more about it. And now, is there this program? Can anybody just start any time? Can somebody start tomorrow? And somebody start next week? And somebody start? So it's not like a class where you have to be there and go through the whole thing. Nope. So you go at your own pace. You can kind of do your own thing, going making sure everything is how it's supposed to be.
So we do have a bit of a time frame. So when you start on, there's like a 90-day gap before we actually vote your application into the department on there. So there are some steps as far as when they start on how much they can do
before they're technically started, but you're there hanging around. Yeah,
I mean they're not going to show up on day one and get a pager.
Yeah,
on that because we're going to have to go through and make sure they know the rules and how we operate on the scene.
Yep. So, anything else we want to cover on the junior program?
I'd say, you know, the junior program, I guess, I was chief at the time we started it.
Yeah.
I had a Justin Shane, was our very first junior firefighter.
Yep.
He came up to me when he was younger and says, you know, I'm going to help out. What can I do? And I think he talked to, I don't know if somebody from Portland or Salamone, it kind of had a cadet program or junior program.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So that's how we got the whole thing rolling. Steve Frankie got us some information. And we read over it. I think Travis and I sat down. I think we're the ones who wrote the very first bylaws up.
Yeah.
But that's back when it started, and nobody else in the county had this program. Since then, once we got it rolling.
You mean there's something that Fort Recovery started that other people didn't have?
Yes.
It's never happened except for maybe the SAC, the Ventrice Park, about 1,000 different things that everybody thinks they invented themselves in Sunday afternoon concerts. These other towns are bragging about hey, we're doing this. We're on our 30th year now, so welcome to the club.
Yeah, once we got started, you know, we kind of passed our bylaws to the other departments, and it started growing through the county. I don't know how many programs are still out there. I know St. Henry's got one.
Coldwater's got one.
A lot of the areas are going to be similar to us where they come and go for a while, and you know they get a group of guys that are interested in it, and it flourishes, and then it kind of diminishes for a while. I know, what'd you have like 15 years ago, there's maybe 8, 10, 12 guys in that, was it? It seemed like maybe
we had it set up to be a maximum of 10. So I'm not sure what we maxed out
at. Still at 10. It's still at 10.
Yeah, so I know there is can't remember who all of them were. Scott Deuce was down there for a while, and Justin and several other people that I can't remember who they are. They're probably 15-year veterans by now, but that I can't think of. But it seemed like they had a pretty good junior program back then, because I couldn't figure out why some high school kid was always at the
station
at the station, and it seemed like Scott Deuce was there every day, so he couldn't stay away, and it's great, you know.
Yeah. I guess before I know I had some people contact me from out of our territory because at that time nobody else had it and they wanted to do it, but I think they finally got their department to kick in there and start doing it.
Well, that's good. So I just think it's a really good thing that we have that going and have had that going and are trying to get it built back up again, and you can kind of maybe keep a steady stream of really good people even if they go on to college and move somewhere else. They've at least had some training on some real important responsibilities. Even if they don't get in the hot zone, it's still a really good thing. So as far as equipment, do we have any like really specialized equipment that we would use for certain things, like ice rescue, anything like that? Is that something that we have? Do we use it much? Even if we never use it, it's still a really good thing. But
yeah, it's something you have, something you train on, and something you don't have. You hope you don't have to use.
Yeah,
more or less to say. But we do have the wetsuits and the ice suits and stuff like that. And these guys, the stretchers and stuff with it. We've actually got some scheduled trainings going on here, coming up here in the next weeks with the ponds freezing over and stuff.
Yeah.
To take the guys out there, along including with the juniors that's interested in doing it. It's something that's for anybody that wants to try to do it. I mean, if you're a person that, you know, they say that these things are very safe to be in to do, I'm not one to do it, but it also takes a number of people to be up in the banks, too. You mean you got to guide the ropes, and you need people watching over while out there. So it's a large group thing to be able to do the ice rescue thing. So,
Is there any other kind of specialized stuff that you have? I know, obviously, the the ladder truck, is a big deal. That way, even if it's just a regular house fire type of thing, you can put water down on it instead of shooting it up in there and hoping it lands where it's supposed to.
Yeah, the day of having the ranch style house is gone. Mm-hmm. You got all these roof lines and
you can't
ladder them like you used to.
Yeah. So other specialized equipment. The ice rescue thing was the only thing I could really.
Well, I mean, every department's got you're going to have your certain amount of specialty type equipment. I mean, like say we got our y'all's rescue equipment, and on the two trucks also. Some of the things that we've just done around the fire hall in the last couple of years here, we pretty much got about 20 out of the guys that's got all brand new turnout gear. Mm-hmm. And we're suited up pretty well on that. We just got new air packs and breathing air packs and everything. Mm-hmm. And we just also got awarded a grant through the FEMA grant for a new breathing air compressor that mm-hmm. should be coming in here real soon. So
good.
Yeah, and we also have that skid unit too.
Oh yeah, we built a skid unit to put on back of a Polaris.
Oh,
or ATV.
Kubota.
Yeah.
ATVs, we use it at the tractor pulls. It could be used at the WOW.
How many times did we use that? Once? Because they canceled everything else?
Everything, because of COVID, everything got canceled.
Well, one day, those days will be over.
Yep. That's just like when we got the ladder truck, I had a guy come by, he says, man, I love it. I hope it rots where it sits.
Yeah.
That means nobody had any problems.
Yep. That just like insurance and a lot of other stuff. You need to have it ready, but you hope you never use it. So what about when we're talking about events getting canceled? I know you've had a couple of your fundraising events canceled. What do we have coming up or hopefully coming up, and what do we do with the money?
Well, we're hoping that the chicken barbecue gets pulled off this year, and it's going to be all drive-through.
Okay. It usually is anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say probably 85% of it's drive-through.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they packed my alley.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, I think we're going to try to do that a little bit different this year. We might serve out of the Bay Area instead of out of that side window.
Oh, well, and that's okay too, I guess. So I won't get, well, they'll still cook it on the premises so I can smell it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm all right.
You can start smelling it at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, I can. I like that. When's that usually planned?
Sounds like we're going to be
week after Easter.
I'm not sure. April, first week of April, I think, is a Palm Sunday, is where they was kind of looking. They didn't get their dates completely set on it yet. So
okay, but it's usually spring-ish.
It's in that right around that Easter time.
And you guys usually do a couple of breakfasts, or just one?
Usually, just do the one in the fall during fire prevention week.
Yep. And so this year you didn't get to do that.
Nope.
I'm extremely disappointed. It's one of my favorite things. The money that you guys are able to raise from that, what happens with that money?
You want to talk about that?
As far as like, the association is the ones that's doing, like we have the Southwest Commercial Fire District is our district, and they're with all the trucks and stuff. Now the Fort Kerr Firefighters owns the building. So that's for like upkeep around the building, like upgrading around the building, taking care of things around there as far as you know, anywhere from landscaping to overall remodeling of the building and stuff. So that's where all our funds all come from for that side of it. So
and a lot of times if we have extra money, we'll buy equipment for the district, give it, you know, here.
Yeah.
Well, like that's a good unit. That's one of the things that was bought, and we've bought some other we bought some, like they call them like rib bags you take along for each one of the guys, is all paid for by the association, and then some radios, communication radios. We bought that from funds that was like a lot of, we got a lot of donations from around the community. I mean, got to be very thankful around this area. I mean, we got a lot of people that I'm very, very, I want to say they're supported to the fire
very
department.
Supportive.
I
mean, very supportive area.
I couldn't say it anymore. I couldn't say enough about how we get support from the community around here. It goes from the businesses to the personal level to we're.
Yeah, the community absolutely appreciates our fire department. It's just, I was looking on the website at some of the previous chiefs and some of the previous names on the fire department, and there's a lot of really good people that are in that, so, and have been in it. So it's a good thing. So anything else you want to throw in there about the fire department?
Our district. I mean, we have a district board that's the ones of the owners of the truck, and they're actually, they're the boss to the fire department is what they are. So, and our district board consists of Pam Hicks is the, she's a district clerk. And then we got Dave Reesner is member at large. And Brian Diller takes care of, is from Washington Township. Nick Kramer's from Recovery Township. And Gary Post is from the Gibson Township. And Al Post is from the village. So there's four different things there. Then Dave Reesner falls as a member at large. They have an odd number for like when they're voting and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of like they're more or less the bosses of the fire district. So.
So the overseers and that type of thing, making sure that things go the way they're supposed to. And I'm going to guess you guys don't make their job real hard by them having to come and say, hey, you're doing this all wrong. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen much.
Yeah, we got a really good relationship with them. I mean, with the district, there's so much with all the government rules, the money, the tax dollars coming in and stuff. I don't know how that could be done without Pam Hicks on that. I mean, she's been doing this for
years.
I don't know, Kimby, you could tell me years, but she's got this thing down where you walk in there and she knows how the how the whole thing needs to be ran. It doesn't make a difference what person's on from each one of the townships. She does a great job of keeping that thing tied together.
Job. Yeah, I'm not even remotely surprised that she does a great job with that. Her mom was a very organized person, and I'm sure she's just as organized. And those kind of people are really important to this town. And having anybody like that, and there's several of them like that around that are just outstanding at making sure that the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. That's terribly important. And the chief and the officers of the actual fire department shouldn't have to deal with that. There's plenty of other stuff to do with actual fire department.
As of right now, and kind of name off some of the officers, like myself as the chief, and we got Doug Weskers as a senior assistant. And they take care of like your day-to-day operations type. Mm-hmm. Your junior assistant chief, he's the one that takes care of the reports and all the, like your legal type paperwork and stuff for the, like it's sent into the state. And then we have two captains, and they're in charge of like anything to do with any type of training and the records for it and getting everything onto the surfaces and computers. And then we got two lieutenants, and they're the ones in charge of all the equipment and stuff. And then the rest of the firemen all follow along and for committees and stuff.
That's really good. Anything else we want to throw in about anything going on?
Well, I have to put in there, I got a text message said, remind that we did have girls as junior firefighters.
We did talk about that.
It got mentioned a little bit.
And we do have two female firefighters.
Yeah.
We don't say firemen anymore, we say firefighters. Yes,
and I think I caught myself once and said it wrong one other time. But, I've been around a long time as firemen for decades upon decades, so we're glad that there's ladies getting involved, and like we were talking about with the junior program, boys or girls in high school, if they want to get involved, that's a really, really good thing. So anything else we want to throw in? And we'll if not, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with Rocker's Rant. Anything else? Yep, we'll be back in a minute.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket.
We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
This is RJ with the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. Be sure to mark your calendars for this year's event, August 27th and 28th, 2021, to be held at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature the Friday night Toe and Go Raffle, as well as the Saturday Super Raffle. We're set to give away up towards $1 million worth of cash and prizes this year. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Don't miss out on the event of the year, the 2021 WOW Super Raffle, August 27th and 28th in downtown Fort Recovery.
Wow.
Our schools will be open to the public for winter walking hours through the end of March. The hours will be Monday through Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. At the elementary middle school, please use the middle school entrance and walk only in the main street hall. At the high school, please use the commons entrance. Other walking options in our community are the track at the football field, which will be available most days, and the Paul Stogler walking trail at the community park. We're back on Insight, and we've been talking with the Fort Recovery firefighters. If you want to hear more of it or hear it again, if you missed some of it, it'll be in our archives in a few hours, and you can listen to it anytime. And now we get to go to the rant from our old pal Rocker.
Howdy, everybody.
He's had over a third of a bottle of Gatorade, so look out.
Well, not like Fireball, so we'll be okay. Now this is the time.
The Tri-Men's Soul. Well, no, this is that's Thomas Paine. Sorry,
we have
a few hundred years ago.
Since we got Kim here, this is his prime opportunity to get back at Bill.
Why? What did Bill ever do to Kim?
Bill Stogler is the richest person around. Bill Stogler keeps expanding his campgrounds because he keeps burying money under all the campers. So if you're out there, you got a camper, you might want to look underneath. There might be some barrels of money.
There probably is. He has. You're saying he has almost as much money as Chuck?
Chuck Hine? He's got more than Chuck Hine.
Oh, probably because he stole it out of Chuck's drawer.
Yeah. I'm gonna go out there this next year. I'll be looking around.
Yeah,
next spring,
like
I can see it.
Underneath the camper.
Everybody's gonna be digging up the ground out there. Sorry, Bill.
Jimmy Hoffa might be out there too.
I'm working on a song for Bill. When I get it done, you'll hear it.
Well, I'm ready for that. What? Come bring it back.
Yep, definitely. Anytime. If you're going to sing us a song.
I don't know if I'll sing it. I'll probably just read it.
We can have Rocker sing it.
Rocker will sing it, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Right up there with Cats.
So is that all you, is that your whole rant?
I figure we want to talk about the impeachment for the second time.
Oh, God.
God help us all. How does one person have that much hatred for one person?
There's several of them that hate him that bad.
Well, I'm just trying to kind of circumvent the one person since we got two minutes left. I look at it this way. She's going to have a hard time sleeping at night one of these days.
Like she have to sleep with one eye open or what?
Well, I'm sure she should be doing that now. We don't want to be enticing anybody. Oh, God forbid,
You're not threatening her, are you?
For recovery.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't have that much oomph.
Okay.
Or that much energy.
Well, okay. What about all the horrible things he's done? Shouldn't he be thrown out of office?
Well, they didn't throw Bill Clinton out of office, and
Well, but he didn't try to get into the Capitol building. Didn't tell people to go in the Capitol building.
No, they just came to Bill.
Yeah,
or at least one person did.
Yeah. So, I'm just thinking that with 8 hours less than a week to go,
why bother?
Exactly. Why waste our money?
Yep. And I think Biden, kind of in his defense, has kind of said the same thing. If you're doing that, you're not taking care of these things that we promised everybody we'd do in the first 100 days, whether you like them or not. But, you know, we got all these things we're going to do in the first 100 days, and you want to do this instead of helping people. You have this vendetta that you want to keep continuing, and so
basically they're muddy in the waters a little bit.
Yep. So it's just let him go, leave him alone, don't poke the bear,
don't tweet anything.
Well, he can't.
A lot of people can't. I don't think.
No.
I can't because I don't have a Twitter account. No. Never have, but that's one more thing to have to waste time on. So Facebook takes up enough time. So any more ranting or anything?
You can't stop yet because you got to go longer because those guys get mad at Jack.
Oh yeah.
Well, so you got to go longer.
Well, we're going to play 3 or 4 minutes of public service announcements in between. So.
I think that's all I had.
I guess we'll shut her down here and let Bob and Harold and
start on time.
I think Mindy Buff is going to be the swim coach who's going to be on Sports Talk. And I think they have Coach Holly Gann calling in and always talking about all kinds of other stuff. And we'll be back with Sports Talk in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.